the things that we're always struck with when we read the Gospels and we see the life of Jesus lived out, that the economy of God is something completely different from the economy of the world. Right, a little bit striking at this time when we have a race for the election to be President of the United States and sort of a ultimate position of power in the world, and then to contrast in a way the power of God that Jesus reveals. That is, a God who is almighty became one of us as an infant in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he comes and he offers himself for us completely on the cross. It's in a way completely opposite of the way you would expect a power structure in this world to be, where people are always striving for productivity, efficiency, control over others, influence over others. And Jesus comes and basically reveals that authentic power in the kingdom of God and the economy of God is totally different than what it looks like in this world. Today, as we celebrate the feast of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, we see in Therese's life another indication of this exact same pattern of how God's grace and how the power of God manifested in our world winds up looking completely different than what we might expect from a human point of view. Therese, you know, lived a very short life in this world. She died when she was only 24 years old. She received special permission to enter the convent at the age of 15. And because she had three other sisters who were there, there was some worry that the Martin family was taking over the convent. And as a result, her sister Pauline, who was the prioress at the time, she basically told Therese she was going to have to remain as a kind of perpetual novice because they wanted to make sure that nobody was accusing them of any kind of favoritism. And as a novice, it would mean you would have to be asking permission for basically everything that you would do. And in the context of this kind of profound humility that Therese, you know, had kind of placed upon her, she found a way to really play a major part in the story of salvation, in particular in the lives of Catholics over the last 100 years or since the time of her death at the end of the 19th century. Of course, we know the foundation of Therese's secret really was her identification as being a child of God. Therese recognized that didn't matter in a sense of her actions, of how great she could do something or how great it might look if what she was doing, but that as a child of God, she was pleasing to the Father simply from the fact of the relationship of being his beloved daughter. And that really became kind of the root and foundation of everything that Therese did. She had obviously a very magnanimous heart and wanted to do everything that was possible. She wanted to be an apostle, she wanted to be a missionary, she wanted to do everything she could, but as a cloistered nun and then ultimately as well through her sickness, she was really confined to her little tiny village in France where she was living. And from there she decided, and she had the spiritual insight, that at the heart of the church really is the love of God. This is the heartbeat of what the church is, and she said, my vocation then is really to be sharing and participating in this love. That is what my life is going to become. And so she made the decision that she was going to do all sorts of the little things in her life, but always with great love, to be a part of this heartbeat that was nourishing and keeping the church alive and constantly touching into the fountain of Jesus Christ. And with that act of intentionality, which is something that many people around her had no clue what was going on, but with this magnanimous intention of heart that she had to do everything with great love, she really became the great saint that she did. I think what her story reminds us of in a great way is, you know, our life isn't so much about our great works and our productivity and our efficiency, but it really is in relishing the fact that God has called us to be his children, of living in that relationship, of finding our dignity in that relationship, and then of taking advantage in a way of the great power that God has given us, that interiorly in our act of the will, we have the possibility to touch the love of God and the grace of God, to receive it in order to transform our acts into works of love that are united to the one true sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And in doing that, our lives become transformed into Jesus, and our acts of love become something that have a redeeming value through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It may not be seen by others, but each of us has this possibility every day, and in fact, we could say every moment of our lives, to participate in this way of life. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace that we would always find our dignity in our relationship with Him, that we would understand the gift that He's given us in calling us His children, and let us ask that we would never waste a moment or a day in our life without doing what we do with great love and attaching our lives to that one sacrifice of love of Jesus on the cross.